Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started this last Monday talking about God wants you well. I'm excited about this because I tell you, I have seen a lot of miraculous things happen in this area of healing. And every time that God manifests a miraculous healing, and I mean people get healed, it causes people to glorify God. You know, on my program yesterday, I was using the scriptures out of Mark chapter 2, where this man was let down through the roof, and it says, when the people saw it, they glorified God and said, we've never seen it on this fashion. Other instances, people says, man, he speaks with authority. These aren't just words. This isn't just a sermon, but it has so much power. It changes people's lives. People are being healed. And this is my experience, too, that every time you see a miraculous healing, people get born again. People begin to commit their lives to the Lord. Healing in itself is not the goal. Now, I am not saying that healing is unimportant, but I am saying that it serves a purpose to illustrate that if God can touch the physical bodies and heal us in this physical realm, then certainly He can do even the greater spiritual things, and the things that are spoken about eternity are also true. And we need healing to help verify and demonstrate that the things we're saying about God able to forgive a person's sins and take care of your emotions and heal your marriages and all of these other things, we need demonstration and proof that these things are true. We got a skeptical world that to a large degree has just written the church off because they say all of these things, but there's no ability to demonstrate it. They aren't demonstrating it. And so it's easy to say that you're wrong, because there's no way to really prove it. But when you start proclaiming that God not only wants to deal with spiritual and eternal things, but He wants to heal your bodies, and people start walking in the miraculous power of God, and miracles start happening, and the dead are raised, and the blind eyes are open, and the deaf ears are open, I guarantee you there are multitudes of people today that have been born again because they have seen the demonstration of God's healing power. There are great miracles happening. I know that there are many of you thinking, well, I've never seen them. And if this stuff is true, why isn't it on the news? You know, I've seen three people raised from the dead. And I've had people say, well, if that's true, then why don't you go to the news and why don't you tell them? And you know what? There is a disbelief. There is a spirit of Antichrist that is at work in this world. And you aren't going to get the news media and all of these things to start proclaiming these healings. For one thing, they would look at it as a liability issue. If they start saying this, well, then what would happen if this wasn't true, if it wasn't accurate? And they're going to just take the easiest way out. They aren't going to take a stand. They would be criticized. People would turn off their broadcast because there's people that just absolutely believe that God isn't real. Or if God exists, that He doesn't want to do anything about our physical situation and heal us. It's a convenient way of believing. It's a way of coping with all of the tragedy and the death and the hurt and the pain and the sickness and the disease. Rather than try and believe God, which it takes effort, and you would have to study the Word, and you couldn't just sit there and watch as the stomach turns on the television and X-rated and R-rated things, and you couldn't be a fanatic and follow all of these things. It would take some effort to renew your mind and to overcome your unbelief and to seek God. It takes effort to see the power of God in manifestation. And rather than put forth that effort, there's people that would rather just accept, well, those things don't happen. And, you know, we just have to depend upon the doctors and medicine, and you can't trust a supernatural thing, and it's a convenient way to live. You can still be carnal. You don't have to seek God. You can pray, Lord, if it be your will. And if you get healed, well, then you say, thank you, Jesus. And if you die, well, you know, it must have been God's will. That's a convenient way of dealing with things. You have to take no responsibility. It doesn't take any effort on your part. But I'm telling you, it's worth the effort. And again, I say I've seen thousands and thousands of people healed, and people are born again all over the world because of these healings. Miracles are happening, and God used miracles to draw people unto Himself. We used those verses yesterday. Let me just continue reading. I didn't read all of this in John chapter 10, but Jesus was being grilled about what right and what authority do you have to do all of this. And they asked him, says, are you really the Christ? And in John chapter 10, verse 25, he says, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And so they kept interacting with him and saying, no, you aren't the Christ. You don't have the right. You're doing this through the power of the devil, etc. So Jesus answered them in verse 34, and he says, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. Well, that's a great teaching. I hadn't got time to go into that. In verse 37, it says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. You know, if we were to just take that statement right there by Jesus and apply this to most ministers today, and if we said, if ministers aren't doing the works of the Father as demonstrated through Jesus. Now, what did Jesus do? Well, there's, of course, many, many instances, but one of them that kind of summarizes it is Acts 10:38. It says how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Part of how Jesus did the works of his Father was that he went around healing all, not some, but all who were oppressed of the devil. And he said here, if I don't do the works of my Father, which part of that work was healing all that were oppressed of the devil, believe me not. If we were to just apply this to ministers today and say, man, if you aren't demonstrating the supernatural power of God, then don't listen to them. You know what? There's a lot of ministers that if we were to apply that same standard to them today, nobody would be listening to them. There's huge amounts of people that have a word that they preach, but they don't back it up with any power or demonstration in the physical, natural realm. And Jesus is saying, if I'm not doing this, if I can't demonstrate the power of God, then don't listen to me. That's one of the reasons that Jesus made the impact that he did, is because he not only had something that he preached, but he lived it. There was power and demonstration in his life, and because of it, man, it shook the entire nation. It shook multiple nations. And of course, here we are 2,000 years later, and Jesus is still the central figure of the human race. In the next verse, it says in verse 38, but if I do, talking about if I do the works of my Father, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Jesus used the miracles that he did and said, even if you aren't going to believe my words, well, then believe my works. Believe this demonstration. How do you reconcile the fact that people are raised from the dead and blind eyes are open and deaf ears are open and the lame walk and the dumb talk? How do you deal with that? It had to be demonstration of the supernatural power of God. And that's what Jesus is saying. Even if you won't believe my words, believe because you see the demonstration of the power of God. You know, you'll hear people today say, well, now, wait a minute, the devil can also do these things. I've never seen people healed by the power of the devil. I don't doubt that maybe it could happen. I don't know, but I'm telling you what. You know, I remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. And people say, you got to watch that stuff. That's of that devil. And, you know, I've never been into a bar and heard those people in there speaking in tongues. I've never been where they're, you know, doing all this stuff. People in bars don't speak in tongues. People, these gangbangers, they aren't speaking in tongues. You'll hear this criticism often that, oh, this is of the devil. But, well, show me the devil's crowd, that they are healing people. Show me that the miraculous power of God. You can't do it. It's not happening. That's a false thing, and some people are afraid and saying, well, it's not only God who does this. You know, Jesus said, you can believe me because you see these works. When you start seeing the miraculous power of God manifest through a person, it's because God's anointing's on them. Satan isn't healing the sick. Satan isn't causing people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and fall in love with God. And that's not the devil. I tell you, some of the arguments that people bring up, it just makes you wonder, how dumb can you get and still breathe? Forgive me for being blunt. And so in Hebrews chapter 2, it's talking about that Jesus is the superior way of God manifesting himself. And how did God manifest himself through Jesus? Yes, Jesus spoke like no other man spoke. Jesus spoke words of life, but Jesus also demonstrated the power of God through miraculous healings. He dealt with the needs of people. He provided for people physically, financially, and caused them to prosper. Jesus manifested power in this physical, natural life to show that he could also deal with these greater spiritual and eternal things. And in Hebrews chapter 2, it starts talking about that since Jesus is the greatest manifestation of God, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, this is talking about the Old Testament law and the Old Testament doctrine, if all of those things were steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, here it is talking about that Jesus himself spoke the word, and it says that those who came after him, his disciples and apostles, they confirmed it. And how did God bear witness? In the next verse, it says, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, again, here it is talking about miracles, and this is talking about signs and wonders. And if you even have ever read the Gospels and the book of Acts, you cannot deny the fact that healing was one of the central things that Jesus did. Healing is one of the central things that the disciples did. And this verse is saying that God used those healings to confirm the word. The word confirm means to establish, to verify, to prove that these things that are being spoken are real. Because if you can cause a physical manifestation, if someone who is blind all of a sudden can see, if someone who is deaf all of a sudden can hear, it is a demonstration that those things you're saying about the greater matters of the soul, the spiritual realm, your emotions, if you can do those physical things, then you can also do those non-physical, intangible things on the inside of people. You know, at our recent Gospel Truth Seminar that I held in Phoenix, I forget all of the details, but we saw hundreds and hundreds of people heal. In one night, I was calling out healings, and I spoke that there are people here being healed of deafness. And I don't know how many people stood there. Could have been 100, but there was at least 50. I don't know. There was a lot of people that stood. And of course, I assume that most of them weren't totally deaf. Are they, you know, I didn't have an interpreter for the deaf there, so they probably had to have some degree of hearing. But there was at least 50 to 100 people that stood for prayer. And out of those, I had people say, all right, if you can already tell that you're healed, if your hearing has already improved, remove your hearing aids, check yourself. And out of those people, I'm not sure how many, but there was at least 30 that instantly were healed and they could hear better. One of them sent me an email, and they were some friends of mine from a long time ago, and this guy had hearing aids in both ears. And with these hearing aids, he still was having trouble hearing. And he went home that night. He wasn't one of those that testified that he was instantly healed, but the next morning when he got up and I think went to the mailbox or something, he could hear the crickets. He could hear all of these sounds. He hadn't put his hearing aids in, and his hearing was totally restored. And you know what? When we saw those miracles happen, you know what? The crowds increased. People started coming forward. We had people born again. We had people baptized in the Holy Spirit. People fell in love with God. I'm not saying that healing is unimportant, but I'm saying healing is a stepping stone to even greater things. And that's what these verses are saying. It's what Jesus said of himself. He says, even if you aren't going to believe me because of the words that I speak, believe me because of these miracles. And if I'm not doing miracles, well, then don't listen to me. Boy, if we were to apply that to the average preacher today, I guarantee there wouldn't be very many preachers out there ministering. Look at this passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 16. This is some of Jesus' last instructions to his disciples. It was after his resurrection, and as he was being caught up into heaven, these are some of the very last words that he said to his disciples before being taken back into heaven. And he said in Mark chapter 16, And in verse 15, it says, He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And as he was talking about preaching the gospel, in the very next verse, verse 17, And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Right in the context of go preach the gospel to every living creature, he says, And these signs are going to follow those who are truly preaching the word of God. Miraculous things are going to happen. And one of those things, the last thing listed, is that you're going to lay hands on the sick and that they shall recover. This is how the Lord says that the gospel is supposed to be preached. And he said he would confirm the word with these things. If you keep on reading in verse 19, it says, So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. This is how the gospel began. The Lord, of course, operated in the supernatural power of God and went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Then he told his disciples, You go preach the gospel, and as you go, you lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And then it says that when they went forth and preached, God confirmed the word. In other words, they didn't just preach it in word, but they demonstrated the power of God by healing people. And when people saw that this is supernatural, you know, none of those disciples in themselves, they couldn't have healed a gnat with their own power and ability. But then they would pray in the name of Jesus, and the dead would be raised, and the blind eyes would be opened, and miracles would happen. And God would use that to confirm that this is supernatural, that the things that they're preaching are true, and because of it, people would be born again. And this is how the early New Testament church started. And I mean, in a very short period of time, they turned the world right side up. And if you read the book of Acts, every single one of them went forth and did miracles. They saw the power of God in manifestation. There's a passage in John chapter 20 or 21. I forget the exact reference. I could find it. But anyway, it says that these things were written about Jesus and the miracles that he did, just as a testimony. But it says if everything that Jesus did, if all of the miracles that he did would be written. Matter of fact, here it is right here. Let me just read this to you in John chapter 21. In verse 25, it says, And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. What a statement. Jesus did so much. The Gospels are just a representation, and one of the dominant things in the Gospels is healing. Jesus healed Jairus' daughter and raised her from the dead, raised the widow's son from the dead at the city of Nain. Jesus healed the blind, the deaf, the lame, the lepers. Jesus did miracles, 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 and this is just a very small representation. If they would have written down all of them, the world itself couldn't contain the books that would be needed to write it all down. Jesus operated in the supernatural power of God. His disciples operated in the supernatural power of God. And if we were true disciples of Jesus today, we would be operating in the power of God. Now, that statement, I believe, is true, but it could be used to condemn yourself or to condemn someone else. None of us do things perfectly. You know what? I can truthfully say that I am seeing the power of God manifest in my life. Like I gave testimony in one service this year, we saw over 30 people who had problems with deafness manifest a healing nearly instantly. I am seeing the power of God operate. But you know what? Like I said, if there was 50 or 100 people that stood, there was only 30 that manifested an instant healing. Some of them, I'm sure, since that time have seen the healing come, but still, it's not every single person. And it says that Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. There isn't a single instance that Jesus didn't heal them all that would allow it. Now, there is an instance where Jesus wanted to produce healing and people wouldn't receive it, but that wasn't his fault. Jesus, he healed them all. I don't see this manifest completely. And there's multiple reasons for it. I know some of the reasons. I could explain that. And as we go through this series, I will be talking about things that hinder healing and why not every person receives a healing. And I have some revelation on this, but I still don't understand it all. And I believe if I had more understanding, I would see a greater number of people heal. And so I could take the very thing that I've said and actually condemn myself and say, well, you aren't seeing every person heal. What I'm saying, though, is I haven't arrived, but I've left. I am not seeing everything as perfectly as it could be, and I'll accept responsibility on my part that I'm not all that I should be, but I'm not all that I was. I'm moving in the right direction, and I'm not condemned. I'm encouraged. I haven't arrived, but I've left, and I'm moving in that direction. And so I'm saying I don't get condemned when I say this, but at the same time, I don't sit there and say, well, you know, that was Jesus, and Jesus just doesn't want me to operate to the same level. And so if I see one or two people healed, then that's fine. I'm content. No, I'm not content. I'm still pressing. I want to see greater manifestation of God in my life. I am not content, but I'm not condemned. And there's a balance between those two things. You have to receive these truths, I'm saying, to the point that it motivates you to want to do more. But at the same time, don't be so condemned or hard on yourself that you just focus on, well, why aren't I doing this? How come our ministers aren't doing this? And you become so critical and judgmental that you go out and begin to blast everybody. There are some people that I really respect that have been faithful to what they know and have impacted their world and have made an impact, and yet they don't operate in the supernatural and see things happen. I don't think that's the way God intended it to be, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And we live in a day and age that this miraculous healing power of God has not been preached to the majority of people, and there are some people that literally aren't operating in it because they haven't heard this. They haven't got the revelation. And so they are faithful with what they know. And I believe that God loves them. And when they enter into heaven, God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. They were faithful to what they knew to do. Did that mean that they did everything they were supposed to do? No, I believe that every minister should be seeing the miraculous power of God manifest in their life. They ought to have testimonies of people that are healed and blind eyes that are open and deaf ears that are open and people that are raised from the dead. We were commanded to do that. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, it says, go preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. In the same way that we're supposed to preach the gospel, we're supposed to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, that the works that he did, we would do also, and even greater works than these. Some people want to argue that the greater works are being on radio and television, which I don't believe that is what it's talking about. But even if you believe that, what are you going to do with the part of that verse that says, the works that I do shall you do also? We are supposed to be doing the works of Jesus. And I'm teaching this series on God Wants You Well to bring us up to another level so that we can start seeing the healing power of God manifest in our lives and through us to other people. I'm out of time today, but I do encourage you to listen. We've got an entire series of materials that we've put together that we call a better healthcare package, and I believe it's really going to bless you. So listen to our announcer and please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled God Wants You Well is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scripture CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The first teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled Healing is in Christ's Atonement is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, there's a lot of material that I have on the healing, and this package that we've put together called a Better Healthcare Package is, of course, going to help you, but you could even go beyond that. And on our website, I have all of this teaching that I'm doing on television about healing right there. You can watch those free of charge on our website. There's also a lot of material. I've got over 300 of my teachings available as free MP3 downloads. We've got daily devotionals. We've got a lot of materials. It is a tremendous site. And if you really are wanting to know about healing, I tell you, it'll make a big difference. Plus, we've got this brand new book. So please check out our website. The address is right there on the screen.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth seminar next week, April 15th through the 17th, and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta, April 18th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs, June 28th through July 2nd.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago. I had control of nothing. My arms, my legs, I had no control.
Each day I felt like I could wake up and my mom would be gone. It was really hard for me.
I began to feel helpless. The frustration of not being able to fix something when you're a fix-it guy.
Andrew put it so clearly. That's what freed me. The more I applied the word, then the healing will come. The healing will come. Just gradually, gradually. And that was okay for me because I knew that I was healed.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
The church has not preached healing, physical healing. They have discredited it, and they've taken all of the verses in the Bible that talk about physical healing, and they have spiritualized them to the point that people don't even recognize that this is talking about physical healing.